Remember Dr. Jonas Salk, who became famous for his development of the polio vaccine in 1953. His brother, named Lee Salk, was famous for being an outstanding psychologist. And he wrote a book, a very popular book in the day, called My Father and My Son. The book was a series of interviews by sons and by fathers to explore the relationship between fathers and their sons. And he begins the book by sharing this moving story. He wrote, "One blustery winter afternoon, my father waited with me in Penn Station for the train that would take me away to the Army Center where I would begin my World War II military service. He looked at me with tears clouding his eyes, hugged me tightly, kissed me on the cheek, told me goodbye in a choked voice. Then, wanting to give me something of his, he took off his watch and gave it to me. As I walked toward the train, I looked at my father, who was waving gently and sadly to his 17-year-old son, going off to war. And suddenly I noticed that several people were watching us with bewilderment. Apparently, that kind of warmth and intimacy between a father and a son was a little foreign to them. And he begins his book, My Father, My Son, with that story because he has a very particular message that he wanted to share. A message was very, very important. He thought a message was kind of urgent because, as he goes on to say, many relationships between fathers and their sons aren't all quite like that. As a matter of fact, in psychology, they have a name for it. They call it the father wound. I'd like to contrast that story with another one. And one day, a woman wrote Ann Landers. For those of you here young who don't know who Ann Landers is, she's one of those advice columnists. I think we got one of them appears in the Tribune Democrat. I can't remember her name at all. I don't know who it is, but we have one in there as well. And Ann Landers, she's right years ago. And this woman wrote to her and asked the question, what age should it be when a father should stop saying to his son, I love you? And she wrote back with one bold-lettered word, never. And so a father read that, and in tears, he says, he wrote back to Ann Landers this, a few weeks ago, I kissed my son for the first time and told him I loved him. Unfortunately, he did not know it because he was dead. The father continued, the greatest regret of my life is that I kept my son at an arm's length. I believe that it was unmanly for males to show affection to one another. I will never recover from my ignorance or my stupidity. I personally, my father and my four brothers and I were very distant. My father was a distant person in our lives very much growing up. Whenever my parents retired, they moved to Altoona where I was. It wasn't long after that my father became a victim of cancer. And so I was living there. I got to see my dad quite often, maybe almost even every single day. He didn't live very far from the parish where I was. And he began to share his heart with me. And he told me his regrets. He told me his fears. I'll never forget it. And he told me why he kept us at such a distance. We all wondered as we grew up why it was like that. And he finally shared that story with me. And my greatest regret, well, it really wasn't a regret that I got to know my dad finally as he was lying on his deathbed, but that my brothers didn't. Our brothers lived in Pittsburgh or Philadelphia, and they never got a chance to know my father as I did in those final months. So today you and I are celebrating the Feast of the Holy Family, and for you and I today, all of us should ponder on some level our relationship with our families in some way. It's a really good thing for us to ponder our relationship with our families because that's something that's very, very close to us. It's the very heart of who we are. Somewhere along the way, our families are critical to all of us. So how you doing as a mother, a father, a spouse, a brother, a sister? Who am I missing? Sons and daughters, I guess. How are you doing in one of those different ways? It's at the heart of the gospel because it's the heart of our lives, because it's the heart of your world and the heart of my world. And I'll say this, it's the heart of my world, this family, at the heart of my world. I've said to my family over and over again, they all know this family takes precedence over that family. I know it might not be the same with you, but it is with me. And I've said this to my family over and over again, this takes precedence over my family that I have. And they kind of understand that about me. But, you know, wouldn't it be inconceivable for Jesus, who wept at the grave of his best friend Lazarus, to not have some time or other have grabbed his mother and hugged her and says, "Mom, I love you"? Wouldn't it be inconceivable for Jesus, who told the story of the prodigal son about this father embracing his prodigal son so profoundly when he finally got a chance to see him, for not that man to not somehow hug Joseph and say, "Dad, I really, really love you"? You know, we've been featuring Matthew's gospel, who's been featuring Joseph, you know, and his story, his telling of the nativity story. It's all about Joseph's point of view, like the gospel here today. And one time there were this priest who was a retreat director, and he was trying to talk to these fathers. He was saying to these fathers that Joseph is like a model to them as being a dad and being a father and being a spouse. And one of the participants in the retreat kind of challenged him, and he said, Joseph was a saint, his wife was sinless, and his child was the son of God. I'm no saint. My wife's not sinless. And none of my kids, the last time I looked, were the child of God, you know, or the son of God. And so the priest kind of thought for a moment whenever this man was saying that to him, and he wanted to say, you know, "Well, let me ask you this," he said. "When you married your wife, who you loved with all your heart, and right before you're about to marry her, did she come up to you and say to you that she's pregnant and you're not the father? Did it ever happen to you that somewhere along the way you were told to get up in the middle of the night and carry any possession you could carry? That was about it. Just the ones you could carry. Take off, leave for another country because someone wants to kill your child. Anybody ever that happened to you?" And the third one, he says, "Has your child ever taken off for a few days and not tell you where he was and somehow left you just searching for him everywhere? Has it ever happened to you?" And he said, that happened to Joseph. And you know, you can just look behind me here, and you can see, like Mary, you know, we think, you know, their lives were so easy. Mary and Joseph's lives were, they were saints, of course. They never had a struggle, never had a question, never had a doubt, never had a concern. But if you look back there, she got 7 swords coming out of her heart. You know, somewhere along the way, I think it was pretty hard for them. Remarkably hard. I mean, incredibly hard for them. And I hope that you got a chance to get your Christmas gift, Rediscovering the Saints. And if you didn't get one because you weren't here for Christmas, we have a basket back there that has some more in there. Make sure you grab one. Their lives were incredibly difficult. Incredibly. You and I would marvel at how difficult their lives were. So today, you and I ponder our families. So let me kind of close here, if I may, by just sharing a prayer with you. Part of it I saw somewhere else, and part of it I just kind of put some things in there myself. And maybe I can share this as a prayer all of us might be able to say in relationship to our families. Lord Jesus, help us to realize that one of the most valuable treasures that you intend to us to have is our family. But oftentimes, for many of us, our families have been deeply wounded, broken, and hurt. Sometimes family is very, very hard, and we can't be romantic and sentimental about family anymore. Help us, regardless of our circumstances, to seek to be good family members, whether it be a father, a mother, or a child. It's not easy, but we must try. If we're Christians, we must try. If we're followers of Jesus, we must try. And so each day, help us to love a little bit more than we think we can. Help us to do a little bit more than we consider enough. Help us to forgive a little more than we think is possible. And Lord Jesus, if we do this, then, when life is over, we will approach your throne in heaven a little bit closer than we ever dreamed that we could.